Recording has started.
Okay. So I want to take just a minute before we jump into the slides to introduce Christy Taylor from Westat, who has been coordinating the survey development and programming this year. She's been doing an absolutely outstanding job, and we're so grateful to have her lead this process. She'll be presenting the technical sections of today's webinar, as well as taking us through a brief demonstration of the survey data entry system. If you are not joining us by computer, please don't worry. The live demonstration will not take very long. And if you want to view it later, you can always view the webinar recording on our website, and it will have both the visuals and the sound recording. I also want to introduce Rayanne Davis, who is NAC's newest staff member. Rayanne has been involved with Quitlines for a very long time and helped start the Kentucky Quitline. She has recently started with NAC as our research assistant, and we really could not be, me in particular, could not be more thrilled to have her on board. She will be providing a lot of the technical assistance for those of you actually taking the survey, and will be conducting follow-up with any Quitlines that don't complete their surveys by November 17th. And we'll get into that a little bit later in the presentation. I want to make a brief note. I think I said this earlier, but both the PowerPoint presentation and the survey instructions have been updated this morning. You will want to get the updated versions from either the webinar information page or the 2010 annual survey page on the NAC website if you have not done so already. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and launch into the slides. A last check for those of you who have joined us just very recently. Can you all see the first slide of the presentation on your screen? It reads, the NAC Annual Survey of Quitlines, Tips and Tricks for 2010. Anyone not able to see that slide? Excellent.
Yes.
Oh, go ahead.
This is Brick. I can't find anything here.
Okay. Do you have the control panel up on your screen, which reads...
people on here, but I don't know where else to go.
Okay. I'm going to close out of the presentation, and I'm going to open it up again, and you should see either the slide or the a red flashing text on your control panel that says Jesse Saul is trying to give a presentation, and you click on the red flashing text if you see it.
Okay.
Do you have red flashing text on your control panel?
Yeah, I did.
You did, but it's not there anymore.
Still, now it's blue.
Okay, go ahead and click on that. And now, do you see the slides?
No, but I don't want to hold anybody up. I've made a copy of them.
Okay. So follow along with the paper version, and you should just be just fine.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Thanks.
Anyone else having trouble or need to know where the slides are online? All right. Excellent. We'll go ahead and go through then. So just to make sure you're in the right place, this is the NAC Annual Survey Training Webinar. I did a brief welcome and introductions already. I'm Jesse Saul. We'll have Christy Taylor from Westat also presenting on the phone today. And the training objectives for today's call, by the end of the training, everyone should understand the major topics covered by the annual survey, understand any major changes from the 2009 survey, be able to log in to the web data collection system, be able to use the web data collection system, know where to get help, be able to teach others in your organization, all of the above as needed, and to understand how the survey data will be used. I do want to make a brief note about NAC and CDC data collection. We're very aware and have been working closely with CDC, given that we're both collecting data from all of you at the same time right now. CDC quarter three data collection for the July to September 2010 period closes October 31st. The NAC data collection is for fiscal year 10, which for most U.S. Quitlines is from July 2009 to June of 2010. So we're not asking about the same data collection period at all for this particular one. We have tried to stagger our deadlines as much as possible to work with everyone's internal needs and resources. And we are working with CDC to avoid duplication of data collection for NAC's fiscal year 2011 survey. There isn't a lot of overlap for the data collection periods this year, and we really want to make sure that we're streamlining the process and not duplicating data collection for any time period where we are overlapping. So we will be working together as much as we can to make sure that we're not duplicating efforts next year, to the extent that that's possible. I just want to ask real quick, does anyone have any questions or concerns about the timing of the NAC annual survey as it corresponds to the CDC data collection efforts that are going on right now? And please do feel free to follow up with me offline if you'd prefer to do that. Okay. So I just wanted to make sure everyone knows that we are very much aware of that and trying to be as cognizant as possible of placing as little additional burden on Quitlands as possible. So just a brief background, we have conducted our annual survey annually since 2004, with the exception of 2007 when we did the assessment of the minimal data set implementation. We've had several research partners, most notably this year we are working with a new partner, Westat, and we're very pleased to be doing so. The survey sections for the 2010 survey include an introduction, which is the only required section. You have to complete that section first before you complete any of the others. We'll get into that later. There's some general information. All of these are should be very familiar. There are no new sections this year. Financing, materials, counseling, utilization, evaluation, promotions, and you have the option to provide any comments throughout the survey as you are taking it. All right, we'll do a section-by-section brief overview, as well as talk about some of the major changes to each of the sections as we go through. So the first section is an introduction section. As I said, it's the only required section, and there are only three questions in this section. It asks for your contact information, the Quitline access information, and in particular, the fiscal year 2010 date. So to access the rest of the survey, the start and end date for your fiscal year 2010 must be complete, and the section must be marked complete. The only person who has the capability to mark a section complete is the key responder, or the person who has the authorization to actually submit the completed survey. So for all of you, and you should know who you are, who are the key contacts or key responders for your survey who have that authorization, please go in and complete the introduction section as soon as possible, because nobody else who is responding on behalf of your Quitline can access any of the other sections until that section is marked complete. The general information section talks about days and hours of service, as well as holiday closures, the services that your Quitline provides, other cessation services that are provided. If there's fax referral information for your Quitline, translation services that are used. I'm not sure how that differs from the languages that services are provided in, not so much that are used, and the service provider that your Quitline uses to provide services. There are a couple of just small clarifications here. There is now a clarification that referrals to other services are now two questions. So there's clarification about what are referrals to other cessation programs and referrals to other types of programs. We know that Quitlines are starting to integrate with other types of programs much more extensively, and we want to be able to capture that information. We're also adding questions on which holidays Quitlines are closed on, as well as counseling that's offered to deaf and hard of hearing people from that community. Those are really the only changes to that. Oh, the other big change is that there's a new subsection on fax or electronic referrals. Given the fact that there has been a huge expansion among Quitlines for fax referral programs since 2005, and that will continue to evolve into more of general electronic referrals. Nearly all Quitlines have some type of referral system, but there's very little known about how they work and the variability of those systems between Quitlines. So we're trying to capture a little bit more of that information here. The financing section, very similar to what you've seen before, the contract organization, the media and promotions contact, budget information, and types of funders that are supporting the Quitline both for fiscal year 10 and fiscal year 11. We're not asking for budget information for fiscal year 11 this year, but we do want to know about the types of funders supporting the Quitline for fiscal year 11. And then looking at any impact of budget changes over the course of fiscal year 10. The changes in the financing section, some of the questions are combined into tables to make them easier to answer. For example, when you look at funding sources, this used to be two separate questions last year. It was also part of the paper version of the survey. We have since decided to only do one survey and not try to do it in two parts, since we heard very clearly that that was a lot of extra work for all of you, and we really are trying to minimize the burden on you to the extent possible. So this is the kind of thing that hopefully will make this question easier to answer. For materials, we are asking about languages of cessation materials, which populations are provided with specialized materials, and any materials for other callers or recent quitters. The counseling section asks about specialized protocols, specialized counselor training, counseling eligibility criteria, the levels of services that are provided, and any medications or vouchers that are provided. There is a new question in the counseling section that asks about counselor training for specific populations. This is new. The survey work group that we worked with to develop the survey noted that in the past when we've asked about tailored or specialized protocols for given populations, that might imply to some people endorsement of having specialized protocols for all of those different populations. And while it might make sense to have specialized protocols for some populations, for example, pregnant women, it may not for others, for example, Aboriginals or Native Americans, since tailoring at the individual level is shown to be a more effective strategy for some of these populations. However, in order to effectively tailor counseling for multiple needs, it's important to train counselors appropriately to be aware of what some of the many issues facing some of those populations might be. And so we really do want to get at specialized training for awareness of issues with different populations. All right. Utilization asks about lots of different things. This is probably the longest section, so I would suggest not waiting to start that one until the very end of the survey period. There's information on caller data, number of smokers, the various things that you've all seen. There aren't a lot of huge changes to this section, caller demographics, web-based services. And we use information from this section to calculate things like reach and in combination with other information from the survey, things on spending per smoker and things like that. So there are a couple of new questions to the utilization section. We ask about the utilization and disposition of incoming referrals, which means what actually happened to the referrals that came in to your Quitline. As always, there's the unable to answer. If you don't track information in a certain way and can't report it to us, there's always the unable to report option. We're also asking about the average number of minutes of counseling and the average number of counseling calls. So those are new questions. The section on the minimal data set items was new last year, and we got some really, really great information, the first of its kind, to be able to look at who is being served by Quitlines on a national basis, both in Canada and in the U.S. The biggest change here for this year is that rather than last year we asked about of everybody who called and was interested in quitting, this year we're asking you to report just on the people who actually received services, and that should produce more consistent information between quit lines. The evaluation section asks about follow-up evaluations, what kind of information are you collecting, who conducts the evaluation, sampling strategy, on and on. We're also asking about 30-day point prevalence quit rates and confidence intervals. And that's one of the new questions for this year. We are asking people, Quitlines, to report their quit rates. And that information, unless Quitlines indicate they do not want it posted on their Quitline profile on the NAC website, that information will be posted there by June of 2011. So if you have questions or concerns about that, please do give me a call. We can certainly talk about that. But that's the plan for using that information. We're also collecting all of the contextual factors that are necessary for interpreting those quit rates. And we understand that it's really critical to collect and have that information so that people know and can appropriately interpret any quit rate that's reported. So we are asking you to report all of those pieces as well, if that's possible. The promotion section includes paid media and outreach activities, as well as fiscal year 11 planned media and outreach activities, and looking at promotions and outreach to priority populations. It's a fairly short section. We're also asking about new categories of social media. Any use of social media that you're making are included in this year's survey, since that's a new area for a lot of Quitlines. There is the capacity to add comments throughout the survey. You can add comments about specific questions as you complete the survey. You can access those comments from any section. That will not take you away from your current section. All of the comments have your initials by each of the comments that you make, and you'll be able to view a running list of comments from everybody who's responding for your quit line. So you can use that to make notes to each other about so-and-so needs to check on this particular question, or you can use it to make notes to NAC about the questions themselves or sort of clarifying comments on the responses that you're able to provide. All right, before we get into the accessing and navigating the survey section, I'm going to open it up for questions, and I'm going to check the Q&A queue. It doesn't look like there are any questions in the queue, but I'll open it up for people who might have questions at this point. Any questions? Okay. Please do feel free to keep track of the questions that you have, and we will have several points where you can ask questions during the presentation. So with that, I will turn it over to Christy, who's going to take us through the next section on accessing and navigating the survey.
Thank you, Jesse. If you want to go ahead and go to the next slide, thank you. This is what the website looks like. It looks very similar to the 2009 survey and has a very similar feeling. The URL for the website will be sent to you by NAC along with your password. If you go to the next slide, I'll show you how to log in.
Christy, is it possible to get a little bit closer to a microphone?
Sure. Sorry
about
that.
Your little face. That's okay.
Is this better?
Yep.
Okay. To log into the survey, you'll need to enter your email address that was provided to NAC, and also the password that NAC is going to send to you. The password is case sensitive. You only have one login per person. If you're assigned to provide data for more than one quitline, you'll be able to select which quitline you want to access each time you log in. I want to say a little bit about dealing with lockouts. A lockout occurs when someone else is logged into the survey and you're trying to access it. Since most states have more than one user, but only one person at a time can be logged into the survey, you'll see a message when you try to log in that says, shows the name and email address of the other person who's logged in, if they are, and you will be locked out. The person who's the primary contact for the quit line can break the lockout. When that person logs in, they'll see the warning message and will also get an instruction to check a box and continue to log in to clear the lock. This slide shows what that warning message looks like. And you can see there's a little box right under the password that says override lock. When you click that box, you'll have to enter your password a second time. When you do that, once you get into the system, you should immediately log out. If you start entering data after breaking a log, the data could become unstable. This is a very small risk. It'll most likely be okay, but just to be safe, please log out after breaking a log to make sure that none of your data gets lost. After that, you or anyone else can log in and start working on the survey. If you want to go ahead, Jesse?
Yep, I'm just going to ask you a quick question. If someone can't contact their authorized user or the key contact for the quit line, who has that authority to override a lock, can they contact, they should contact annualsurvey@naquitline.org, the help email address, and somebody will be able to help you from NAC or from Westat.
Yes, that's correct. Thank you. After you log in, you'll see this menu on the left-hand side, which lists each section in the survey and its status, either in progress or complete. At the top, you'll see the dates of the fiscal year 2010 for your state. This is based on your answer to question G3, and it's why we're requiring that you answer question G3 before you continue through the rest of the survey. G3 is in the introduction section. Your fiscal year will always be displayed there at the top of the page. Saving your data is a two-step process. The first thing you have to do to save your data is to check for any blanks that you might have missed or any problems or missing data. You do this by clicking a button that looks like this. It's at the bottom of every page labeled Check for Outstanding Issues. When you click that button, you'll go back to the top of the page and you'll see this message. It'll say you may have left one or more fields unanswered, and it will highlight all of the unanswered fields in yellow. I have to note, I apologize for this, but this graphic is actually incorrect. You will have two buttons just like this to respond to. The first one will say save and mark in progress, and the second one will say save and mark complete. And when I do the system demonstration, you'll see that. The important thing to understand is the difference between the two buttons. Both of them save your data. The first one is visible to all respondents, all users for a quit line. And this will save your data and mark it as in progress in the status bar. We strongly recommend that you do this, even if you're going to review your highlighted issues, because this will make sure your data is saved. If you are the person who's authorized for your quit line to mark the data as complete, you'll see the second option that will say save and mark complete. You should choose this option only if you're finished with the section and you've reviewed all the responses to make sure the information is complete and accurate. When the key respondent has marked each section as complete, he or she will receive an email on the next business day confirming that their survey is complete. What
and
if
just,
you forget to save?
If I could just go back real quick on the saving
ahead.
Issue. So this is a little bit different than how the survey worked last year. Last year, as soon as you went to the next field, your data was saved from the previous field. This year, nothing is saved until you click Save and Mark in Progress or Save and Mark Complete. So you'll want to do the two steps. You want to check for outstanding issues, and then you'll want to click on Save and Mark in Progress. And that should keep you on the same page so you can continue to enter data. But if you're someone who likes to save data as they go, you'll need to do that two-step process each time you want to save what you've done so far. So especially for some of the complicated sections, you may want to do that several times as you're entering the data. Okay.
Thank you, Jesse. So what if you forget to save? If you forget to save and try to go to another section, you'll get this warning message. And you can then either select OK, which will take you away from this page and your data will be lost, or cancel, which will leave you on the page you're on. You can also print a summary of your survey. If you look It's a little bit small, but if you look in the blue bar on this slide, you can see I've circled in red, print survey section. If you select that option, you'll get a PDF of the survey with your answers. So if you haven't started the section yet and you click this, it'll be blank and it will have all the questions. If you have started the survey and you click this, your answers will be in the PDF along with all the questions. You can print or save the summary at any time, and it works just like any other PDF. I recommend that the key user print or generate PDFs of all the sections when they mark them all complete so that you have them for reference later if there's questions.
Great.
Now I'm going to demonstrate the system for you. I'm switching to a sharing application where you'll be able to see what I'm doing on my computer. Once I start the sharing application, you may receive a prompt to download an ActiveX tool. If this happens, please just follow the directions on your computer. This should take less than a minute. And we're going to pause just a moment now to allow anyone who's prompted for the download to catch up. When you've installed the ActiveX tool, you should be able to see Internet Explorer on your screen with the NAC survey loaded.
Okay, I'm able to see that screen. Anyone who can't see it, check your control panel. There may be an ActiveX control prompt to load that ActiveX control or within a new pop-up browser window. So and you may need to do it twice, actually. So if you do it within the pop-up window and you still don't see anything, go back to your control panel and see if there's another one that you need to download. I'll give you just a minute and then ask if there's anyone who's having trouble seeing. There should be a screen. The browser window has desktop viewer Christy Taylor in the top left-hand, very, very top left-hand corner. And the picture on the screen is of the NAC Annual Survey of Quitlands 2010. And it's got login instructions there. Any issues seeing the demonstration right now?
This is Teresa from New Hampshire. I'm not seeing it.
Okay. Do you see any ActiveX control, little yellow sort of banner at the top of any of your screens right now?
No.
Okay. It may be that some computer systems don't allow for some of this
okay.
to show up.
We have huge firewalls here in the capture.
Yeah.
It's so ridiculous.
That's my guess is what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
So just bear with us while we get
okay.
through the live demonstration.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks. Anyone else having issues? Okay, Christy, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. So the first thing you need to do is log in with the email and password that NAC is going to send you. I'm using test data for this demonstration, and so I've entered my fake email address here, testuser1, and then click log in. The next, if you're answering questions for more than one state, you'll have to pick a state at this point.
Or province.
Excuse me? I'm sorry?
State or province.
Oh, state or province. Yes, thank you, Jesse. I'm sorry.
You're welcome.
So if you're answering questions for more than one state or province, you'll have to pick that state or province at this point. As I said, I'm using fake data. So my two fake state or provinces here are labeled X0 and X1. These are obviously fake. You would see real names like Arizona or British Columbia or Maryland. So I'm going to go ahead and pick one and log in.
And Christy, when people have the option to select, they don't have all of the Quitlands to select from. It's just those ones that they're authorized to provide data for, correct?
Yes, that's correct, Jesse. You only have to pick from the ones that you're authorized to view.
Great.
So once you pick the state or province that you're going to enter data for, you will see the instruction page just like we're seeing here. But what would happen if someone else were logged into the site? I'm going to go ahead and log out, and I'll show you what a lockout looks like. So I'm going to re-enter my email and password. Oh, apparently I mistyped. That's a good opportunity for me to remind you that the passwords are case sensitive. Okay, so now once again, I have to pick the state or province that I have access to. This time I'm going to pick X0, and you'll see I get this message telling me that the quitline survey for X0 is locked because it's being accessed by training user 4. Training user 4 is one of my colleagues who I asked to log into the system before this session. You'll see there's an email address if I want to email that person to try to coordinate our access and our use of the system. But if you just want to go ahead and unlock the system, you can contact the key user, the key authorized user for your state, and that person can override the lock by clicking this little override lock box here and re-entering their password. Then they have to also re-enter the state or province. We've made this a little bit cumbersome so that you can't do it accidentally. If you do choose to break a lock, as I mentioned, we strongly recommend that you immediately log out just to make sure that nothing unpleasant happens to your data. So just immediately log out and log back in.
And, Christy, where's the logout?
The logout button is right here in the upper right corner of this blue bar.
Thanks.
I'm not going to do that this time, just in the interest of time. I'm going to continue on with the demonstration. So after I've logged in and I've broken the logout, I can see these instructions. Before anyone else, let me start that sentence over. You'll notice that over here on the left bar, all of these sections are grayed out. That's because no one has yet responded to the introduction section. As Jesse mentioned, the introduction section is required before you can complete the other sections. Many of the questions in the survey are already filled out with data from 2009. We did this for questions that we thought were unlikely to change. You can see that in this introduction section, question G1, G2, and G3 are already pre-filled with data from 2009. You can edit this data and change it. But this is just here for your convenience. If you scroll down to question G3, this is the question that asks about your quitline start and end date for 2010. You can see that it's pre-filled based on your responses for 2009. If you click the button to check for outstanding issues, it will highlight any blank fields. In this case, I don't have any blanks. I'll show you what that looks like in a moment. For this screen only, you're going to get this option right here that will tell you to click here to validate the fiscal year 2010 start and end date. So you click on that and select those options. By clicking those boxes, you're just confirming that those are the dates you want. As I mentioned, you have two options here, to save and mark in progress or save and mark complete. This is the wording that you'll see in the section rather than the wording that was on the slides before. only the key authorized user will have this option to save and mark complete. And for this quit line, that's me. So I'm going to go ahead and mark that now. You can see when I did that, these other menu options on the left became active. You can now access any of these sections, and you can answer questions in them in any order that you like. I'm going to go to the promotion section just to show you a few more examples. Many sections in the survey have questions that use checkboxes like this. When you see this kind of checkbox, it means that you can select all that apply. The question also tells you that you can select all that apply. So for this question about what statewide or provincial-wide paid media promotions or outreach activities my quitline did in 2010, I'm going to select a couple of options. For some questions, if you select a box that says Other, a box will appear for you to provide further detail about that response. So, for example, if you use Delicious for social bookmarking for your social media activities, or Tumblr for microblogging, you could enter that here, or anything else. The other kind of question that you'll see quite a few of in the survey are boxes or questions that use radio buttons like this. For these questions, you can only pick one option. So you'll notice the boxes look different, and there's no select that apply instruction. For many of these questions and for many of the questions in the survey, when you answer them, a further question may appear. The skip pattern is activated by your response. So you can see that when I said yes to question P3, question P3A became active, asking me to indicate which populations. And again, these are the checkboxes where you would select all that apply. And even in some of these checkbox questions, you'll still see boxes that will open up asking you for further detail about some of your responses, in this case about racial or ethnic populations. So when you're done answering those questions, you'll see the box at the bottom of the page that says check for outstanding issues. Go ahead and click that, and you'll go up to the top of the page. You'll see that it's highlighting you may have left one or more fields unanswered. If I scroll down, I'll see yellow highlights on the questions that I did not answer. I can either answer them now or, and I think this is probably the best method for you to use, I'm going to select Save and Mark in Progress. That saves my data to the database. It also removes the yellow checkboxes. So you can make a decision for yourself about how you'd like to answer the questions. You can decide if you want to continue on without the yellow highlights, or if you'd like to reactivate the yellow highlights, you can check the Check for Outstanding Issues box again. Some of the questions have more complicated kinds of checks and data entry methods. I just switched to the section called General Information. This section starts with question 4G. And this question asks to please provide the days and hours of service of your quit line for the following categories of service. Just for the sake of illustration, I'm going to click no to live pickup of incoming calls and no to voicemail. But let's say I do provide counseling service. I am a quit line after all. And so I need to enter the start times and the end times in here for every day, for my quit line. If I make a mistake or I leave something blank, that will be highlighted when I check for outstanding issues. So you can see in this case, for Wednesday, I picked a start time that was before the end time. And there's a little asterisk that appears here, and the error is described at the bottom. And then once again, I want to check save and mark in progress to save my data. And as Jesse prompted me a little bit ago, you want to make sure that when you're done working on the survey, that you click log out. And that is to make sure that no one else is locked out of it. And I don't have anything else to demonstrate unless anyone has some questions for me.
Any questions for Christy about the actual accessing the survey or navigating through it, anything that you just saw? All right. I'm going to just check our queue for questions, and I don't see any questions. So I'm going to go back to the slideshow.
And I'm going to stop sharing my desktop.
Great. And I'm going to get to the right slide. Okay. So you all should see a slide on your screen that says Data Review and Clarification. If you can't see that, check your control panel and click on any red flashing or blue text that's right under, right above where all the names start to be listed. And I'll give just a brief pause to make sure people can see that and any problems people are having seeing the slideshow itself. Okay, so for data review and clarification, the survey will close November 17th. That'll be 4 weeks from the launch date. And starting on the 18th, WestStat and NAC will start reviewing data. If we have any questions, we will follow up with you by phone or email. So while there are a lot of checks worked into the data collection process to try to avoid as much as possible having to follow up with you afterwards, if there are questions or just data that look really weird or a lot of missing data or things like that, we will follow up with you to make sure that the survey was saving your information correctly. There are several ways to get help. The survey instructions are on the survey status page, the first page that you get to. You can also access them by clicking on instructions in the upper right-hand corner of the survey data entry system. You can also access them on the 2010 survey page on the NAC website, and the address is listed on this slide. You can also contact NAC. The annual survey help address is annualsurvey@naquitline.org, or you can contact Rayanne or myself. And our phone numbers and extensions are listed on the page here. We will also be keeping track of any questions and answers that are submitted and asked, and we will be updating those weekly on the 2010 NAC annual survey page, and that's that web address that's on the slide right now. All right, another option for questions, anything that you've seen so far. Everything is absolutely crystal clear. And we do recognize, that's in jest, that there will be lots of questions as you actually get into the survey, and we do encourage you to ask those as you go through, as you have in years past. Just to run through the timeline quickly, we are having training webinars today and Wednesday. The same information will be covered on both of those, so if you're on this one, you do not need to be on the Wednesday call. The survey will launch no later than October 20th, If you have been reading your emails carefully, you'll note that we intended to launch the survey today. There are a couple of issues that we just need to make sure we're doing final testing for to make sure survey data is saving appropriately. We want to make sure that once we do launch the survey, we're not having to ask you to go back and re-enter things that you've already done. That's really the last thing that we want to do. We want to make sure that we provide you with the smoothest, best functioning survey that we can. So what we will do to notify you that the survey is open is we will be sending you your login information as soon as the survey goes live. So once you get that email from us, and all authorized survey responders will get that information from us, you'll know that the survey is open and you can go in and start entering your data. The survey will close November 17th. The close date has been adjusted accordingly. The original close date was the 15th, and so we're giving you a couple of extra days on that end as well. From the 18th of November, as we said, through the end of January, we'll be doing data cleaning and follow-up, mostly by Westat. So Christy, one of her colleagues, will be contacting you. NACSTAF may be involved in that process as well, but don't be surprised if you hear from Westat directly. In the spring of 2011, we'll be releasing our benchmarking data as we have in years past, and be sending that directly to all of you. And in June, we will release the full set of results, and we will be updating the Quitline profiles that are on our website. I want to be as clear as possible about how the information that we're collecting will be used. We will provide a summary report, a highlights report, to NAC members. We'll do that in June, if not earlier, of 2011. We'll also put the full set of findings as we have in 2009. That will be available on the 2010 NAC website. There will be selected variables in table format. You can go to the 2009 survey page and see all of those from the 2009 survey that has all of the Quitlines listed and various variables in table format that make for easier review and understanding. There will be several publications and reports that go out using aggregate data. Again, anything that we haven't specifically said, we will be identifying Quitlines is an aggregate form. We will be doing our benchmarking work on reach spending, and we will be adding quit rates to that list this year. And that's in the same format where you get your information and see how you compare to everyone else. That's also included on, those pieces of information are included on your profiles page, and we'll be populating the Quitline profile metrics section. That looks like this. This is the bottom section of your Quitline profile page. To access those profiles, you can go to the map.naquitline.org address and click on any state, province, or territory. Each Quitline also has the power to update any information on the rest of your Quitline profile page. The Quitline metrics are not editable with the exception of the context box for Quitline metrics, and that'll be even more important as we start to populate it with 2010, which will include quit rate information. So information about the population that your Quitline is serving, who you're targeting, what kinds of services are available. All of that, some of that is available on the profiles already, but if there are any other pieces of information that you want to include in that context box, that will be open to you to enter as you see fit, so that information will be available to help people appropriately interpret any information within this metrics box here. All of the information in the metrics box is optional. You can opt out of providing that information or having that information listed on your Quitline profile. I think only one or two Quitlines have opted not to include that for the 2009 data. So if you do want to opt out, please do let us know and we can work through that process for you. All right, another opportunity for Q&A and discussion. Last questions about the survey's functioning, how we're going to use any of that information. All right. I'm going to do one last check of the Q&A queue. I don't see any questions in there at this point either. I do want to stress that the annual survey at naquitline.org email address is probably your best bet for quick technical assistance. You can also call Rayanne or myself. Those phone numbers were provided throughout the presentation. They're also available on the left-hand navigation panel at the bottom there as well. If you have any questions about the survey in general or any issues that you want to discuss offline, please do go ahead and contact me. My contact information is on the screen currently. And again, I really, really want to stress that we can't do the survey without you. We recognize that it does take a significant amount of time, and we hope that the information that we're collecting is useful to you and we're able to put it to good use in advocating on your behalf. So we do appreciate your participation, and we look forward to working with you over the next month or so in completing the survey. Christy, anything last words to add before we log off?
No, not at all. I'm looking forward to working with everyone, and I hope this process is as smooth and easy for you as we can possibly make it.
Great. So be looking out for the login information email that will come in the next day or two. And again, the 2010 survey page on the NAC website is your source for all information about the survey, as well as the survey instructions. The recording of this webinar will be available there as well. And as always, feel free to contact us when you have any questions, comments, or concerns. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
A host has ended this conference. Please hang up.